Sorry, the nerves got us all. Our whole family this morning is like, we're so nervous. Okay, John chapter 20, beginning verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early. While it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her.
Thanks, Ryan. Well, I have the absolute honor and privilege to invite Jackie up to preach. I've known Jackie for like probably 18 years, and I can honestly say there are few people who have the gospel so deep within them that it just is constantly spilling out. Like, she consistently is pointing our family and me to Jesus, and people I've processed some of the worst parts of my life with, and consistently she's saying, "Oh, but Jesus." And so it is an absolute honor and privilege to sit under your teaching today, Jack.
Hello. So, I'm Jackie. Some of you might not know, I'm Ryan's wife. Most of you probably already know that. So, happy Mother's Day to all you. It's so nice to be here on this day, and specifically to my mom. Happy Mother's Day. And just to everyone that we just contend for that spirit of mothering together. It's just such an honor to be part of this community for that. And what a beautiful text to be reflecting on today. Jesus' resurrection moment. That is just so incredible. There's not a moment that goes by, a day that goes by, or a moment in my day when I don't desperately need the fact that Jesus resurrected. How many points in my day and thoughts in my day that I just need that desperately. So I just want to take a minute to reflect on that. I want to look at this passage through kind of that lens of being a mom and being a mother and the things that we are specifically and uniquely interacting with as moms. But also just trust this is a scripture the Father has spoken to the bride of Christ and that it will minister to everybody, and because it's so good. So I just want to pray and get ourselves right into it. So Father, we just come before you right now, Lord. Father, everything and all is for you. Just like the worship songs, Jesus, we long for you to come down and dwell among us and to be with us and walk with us. That's our whole heart's desire, Lord. We dedicate this to you. We love you and long for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start just on verse 1 here. So it says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark." And I had to have a laugh at that because I thought, oh, there's being a mom right there, being up at the crack of dawn or even before. I'm like, oh, let's just stop there. We're done. But as you study it, a lot of scholars talk about it, like, what is Mary doing? Why is she there at the crack of dawn? Why is she the only one there? You know, what is it that she's doing? And a lot of people think and talk about just that Jesus' death and the interaction with the Sabbath and how there's probably some small tasks that are just kind of meaningless that didn't get taken care of because of the tight crunch of time and whatever else. So here's Mary showing up before dark or before sunrise and doing these somewhat, I don't know, tasks that no one else valued. And just how precious that is. And, you know, she's got to go down there and the disciples aren't there. You know, she's quite alone in that, actually. She's gone down there and it's not something that everybody honored or valued. Everyone else is still in their own places doing their own thing. And here she is down at the tomb taking care of all the little tasks. And I just think mothering carries that same spirit, doesn't it? A lot of times where, you know, we work so hard because we want to give other people rest. You know, we maybe do things that nobody else wants to do, but we do them because they have to get done. And sometimes we have tasks that no one ever sees. And I was just thinking about how funny that is with small children. If you have anyone under 3, the reason why no one sees it is because they mess it up like 10 seconds after you've done it. But we are positioned in a position as moms that's really unique. And it's positioned specifically to be in the silent and unnoticed places of this world. And like Mary in this moment, she is in a place where it's silent, unnoticed. But that God comes and he places such value and significance on that moment because he saw it as an opportunity for him, for his presence. So just as Mary is doing this insignificant somewhat, job as far as our culture is concerned, God places value on it, and that's so true of being a mom. God comes and he values our seemingly insignificant moments and tasks by showing up in the midst of them. And for me, that's something that's been so uniquely created. I just think all the little things that I do in my day where God just comes and abides and be in those moments is thinking about just talks even with your kids. And every once in a while, there'll be a moment where the spirit and presence of God just comes on some little conversation. And you're just like, wow, like nobody knows that happens. Nobody sees that. Nobody talks about that. But just how beautiful. He takes that simple little task, little conversation, and he just shows up on it and makes it so valuable. Even for me, I think some of my biggest, I don't know, even revelations of scripture or whatever are done when I'm doing something silly. I'm mopping the floor, doing something, putting something away, or walking somewhere, and all of a sudden the Lord just comes again in his presence and just reveals something so beautiful. He values so deeply those moments because he knows their opportunities. In this story, I think that God shows up. Or God's plan is for Mary in this moment is that she's out about these tasks and God affirms it by showing Jesus shows up. He walks into her this moment. And just reflecting on this, I thought a lot about our culture and just value and affirmation. And as a mom, I want to take a minute to talk about that. So I know as a mom, and as a human being, I'm bride of Christ, we're all in this together, I think. I am absolutely hangry for affirmation and value. I am desperate for it. I need validation, I don't have enough. And it's that constant need in me that's unmet. I just think that this story is such a beautiful testimony of God's plan to meet and affirm us in the very little tiny moments of life. But I just think in our culture, there's a problem. And that problem is, and for Mary in this situation, culturally, this wasn't a good moment. And culturally, this was an insignificant moment. And the disciples weren't even there. If the disciples knew that Jesus' resurrected self was going to show up, he would have been there. They would have been there. But it was this still, quiet moment before, you know, anybody else was even on the go, that Jesus showed up and showed value. And in our culture, I see it's not necessarily, though there is some exterior views on being a mom and tasks, but whatever about that. But there's this thing on us ourselves that we put on ourselves. And culturally, we have such high expectations of what it means to be worthy of affirmation and value. We have such high rank and list of what that would be. So I just want to take a moment and ask you a few questions to reflect on. So here's the first question. What are your expectations of yourself? So just take a minute and think, okay, what are the things that I would look at and say, oh, good job, me. Let's just think about that for a minute, even in one specific area of your life. Okay, what would you do, or would you be able to hear somebody say good job if you were functioning lower than that expectation? Would you be able to hear them say that? Would you be able to hear that you are extremely valued and significant in all those little moments that aren't on your significance checklist? I just think so often it's us, we put this standard of like, oh yeah, 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 I appreciate that you say that, but you don't really mean it. But just like Mary, Jesus shows up here in a seemingly insignificant moment and puts huge significance on it. And those moments pass us by every day. And I just think this, for us, we need to hear that the significance of our productivity does not validate us or make us worthy of affirmation. You need to hear that, specifically moms, but all of us need to hear that. Mary becomes the very eternal witness of the resurrected Christ here. It's a huge moment for her. I just think if we are able to kind of turn our minds off of our expectation, off of our cultured standards of what's worthy of affirmation, there are so many tiny little moments that pass us by where God wants to affirm and speak value and validation and comfort and kindness and all of his character and all of his love for you on those moments, but we just don't even bother to turn and listen. We don't even look to him to hear that. We don't take that moment to absorb that. And it makes me, confession, hangry. I'm dying for that. But I'm so busy living up to my own standards that I don't take that opportunity to absorb his love and affirmation for me. Can you believe and think about for a minute every little task, every step, every time I'm with my kids, all of those moments, all of those second individual moments, that if we could receive God's love and affirmation, how abundant that would feel, how full we would feel. I have a little story, actually. One of my first healing of the heart sessions was kind of about this. I was praying and I had this picture of myself and Jesus. And so Jesus, you know, they always like, where's Jesus? He's out here. So I'm picturing Jesus. And I had this picture, and every time I'd step toward to go to Jesus, he would step farther away. And it was like this, I kept walking and he kept moving away from me. So as much as I moved, as much as I moved towards him, he kept moving away from me. And then it was like I scrolled out in this idea, and it was, I could see that actually I'm holding the stick. And on the end of the stick is a cutout of Jesus. And it's this idea of who I think Jesus is. So it's Jesus on a stick. And every time I stepped, he just got farther and farther away. And so then I was like, oh, that's not real. That's not Jesus. And then as I put that down, the revelation was he was right here the whole time. Wasn't anywhere. He was right here. But in my mind, in my understanding, in my lack of understanding, he was on the stick and I could never reach him. And for me, that was a really big revelation of similar to what I would have missed here if I was one of the disciples. I'd be like, I'm not going to go. That's not valuable enough. Jesus values Mary in this moment and what she's doing. And we in our stories need to realize that, that we disqualify ourselves, but God's ever present to affirm and speak to us. I just think Jesus, or in this story, Mary understood this. She understood that there was more here than just tasks. I think in this moment here, in this moment here, I think for Mary, she gets something that we need to get. And I know, like, scholars talk about all the tasks, what she's doing there, why the disciples weren't there, all of that stuff. But when I take a minute to look at this scripture, there's something that I notice about Mary. And that's, Mary was there at the crack of dawn. I don't think because she had a task to do or that she, you know, felt guilty or whatever. I think she was there before dawn because she could not live a day without Jesus. I think in my pursuit of Jesus, it's always been that, like, I can't get to you, but I long for you, I'm hangry for you. But here, Mary gets this, and she's there, and she's at the crack of dawn, and she's like, even with Jesus being dead, he wasn't even able to do anything as far as she's concerned, but she just could not live without him. And so she, whatever task, whatever tiny thing she could do, she was there. I think this is true of us. We are not meant to live a moment without him. And yet we let so many pass without going to him for his love and presence and affirmation. I think if we go to this verse 2 here, he says, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. And for the sake of time, and I'm going to just stick with Mary's story here, because there is a heap of stuff to teach through here, but just, we're going to stick with Mary, and I'm going to actually jump down to verse 11 to 13. He says, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and she wept. She stood to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting there, where the body of Jesus was laying, and at the hand and at one foot. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. For Mary in this moment, there is something really grieving to her, and it's this unmet desire. I really do believe she was at the tomb longing for the presence of Jesus. And then all of a sudden she goes and he's not there. And she's worried. She's like, where's my Jesus? And it left this deep question and desire in her heart unmet. She was longing and weeping in her unanswered question. And in motherhood and as the bride of Christ, we often have moments like this. Where is Jesus? Where's Jesus? I honor this question in her, in Mary's heart, and her action of just staying at the tomb. The disciples actually left, and she went and got the disciples, she came back, and then the disciples left, and she stayed at the tomb, and she wept over him not being there. I think a lot of the, be vulnerable here for me, but for me, a lot of times, and I think as Christians, we don't ask this question like Mary's asking this question, where is Jesus? Where did he go? I think it's a lot of demands of rights and needs. I need this. I need you. I want this. And I honestly think she was there just because she wanted to be in his presence. And I dream of the day when I can ask those questions as purely as she did this question. But I feel like I still have a lot to go. I feel like that's even part of my journey being here has been a purging of that selfish ambition behind the very question, where is Jesus? in this crazy world of question and unanswered questions. And, you know, so often I'm doing that. Jesus, where are you? But it's not out of the same anticipation that Mary has here. It's not a, I need to be with you. It's a, well, come on, where's this checklist? We got to do this stuff. Don't make me hurt. Don't make me right. We have that whole list. But Mary understood something here. It was about the presence. But what's profound here is as much as I honor and love her desire for Jesus, she's standing there, she's staying there in her unmet desires, she's seeking him out. In that, there's still that she misunderstands. She misunderstands and shows her lack of understanding because she doesn't even consider the fact that Jesus is resurrected. It doesn't even cross her mind. She's in that moment, she longs for Jesus, she knows she needs him, but there's not even in her mind the full picture of God yet. And our understanding is like that. Our understanding and God's understanding can be so different. But even in her desire and disappointment, she's and her all of these things leading to grief and worry and all of the feeling she has, it led her to something really miraculous. She stayed there, she stayed in her grief, and it led to this miraculous moment when she gets to witness Jesus' resurrection. She stayed in her question, and Jesus shows up. That's God's plan. We stay in our unknowing, and God's plan is that Jesus does show up. And he shows up by calling her by name. I think that's such a beautiful picture. He didn't just say, hey, talk to her as if she was just someone. He calls her directly, Mary. And instantly she knew who he was. Mamas, he knows you by name. He knows everything about you. Bride of Christ, he knows you by name. And he calls you out of these things by that. And receive his affirmation in this moment, in the fears, in the disappointment, in the lack of understanding, in the waiting, in the calling. He's calling you by name. It says in verse 16, Jesus said to Mary, said to her, Mary. She turned to him and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. I just want to take a minute to highlight how I think that's so significant. There's probably 1,000 reasons why she referred to him as that, but the reflection that I felt was just how quickly she was turned to him in her unknowing, in her lack of understanding, in her moment of question, and turned to him right away and said, oh, teacher, right? This is so valuable for us, is that in those moments of lack of understanding and we wait on him, he turns to us and teaches us of the kingdom, of his spirit, of his character, of his ways. But we often in our culture, we turn and we say, nope, these are the things that are valuable. Don't talk to me about whatever. But we actually need to have the spirit and the heart of people who want to learn from him and be the very, in this moment where Mary gets to see the resurrected Christ, let's, isn't that amazing that we get to taste and hear of the resurrected Christ in our moments, in the little moments, not even the big ones, though those matter too. Then in verse 17, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And that he had said these things to her. She went and set out to go and testify that she had seen the Lord. I just felt such a huge call in that. That her greatest moment and that unsatisfied fulfillment she had going to the tomb. And then she runs to the disciples and that's what she's proclaiming. I have seen the Lord. I love that. That eternal fulfillment of the presence of God in her life, that there really is nothing more valuable than that. And even when you look in the scripture, oh, it's not there, but the highlighted is, I have seen the Lord, and then the underscore is, and he said these things to me. I think there's two parts there, excuse me. (Clears throat) I think she got it. Excuse me. Again, that it's not about necessarily what all he had to say. Firstly, it was actually about, I got to see him. And that's where I think it's just so valuable that even here they highlight that. And yes, she did get told things to say. And God met her in that little moment, and he told her things that she was meant to say. But that is definitely underscored to the I've seen the Lord. And we need to live in that pattern, especially as mamas, I think. Because we need that fellowship every moment, every day. We need to see him, fellowship with him, be with him. And he'll impart stuff for us to say into our kids, into whoever. But the highlight is we absorb his presence. And then wherever we go, his miraculous presence comes with us. We change things. We walk in things in that way. So just in conclusion, I just want to say a few things. Just wrap up here. Say, people, please, and mamas, allow yourself to be loved by him. Lay down those standards, those expectations, those whatever those privileges in your mind are that make you worthy of his love, lay those down. And please let yourself be loved by him in every little moment. And long for his presence. More than anything else, we seek him for that purpose alone. Wait in the question of where is he? Wait. Don't run to the next fix or the next problem solve. It's okay to wait in the question because guess what? He's going to show up. And the resurrected, powerful, miraculous God, not temporary means, an eternal means, is going to show up. And that witness, you're going to be able to say, you saw the Lord. In your moment, in your little life, in whatever little small tasks you're being obedient in, you're going to be able to say you've seen him. And his presence will make your insignificant moments the very host and opportunity for the miraculous presence of God to come and be alive in this world. And because of that, you're going to see more of the Lord. It's this beautiful circle. So I just really encourage you guys to engage with what that is. How can you hear and receive that love and affirmation of the Father? And mamas, today is for you. Today is for you to hear the foundation and affirmation of God's deep and desire to love and value you. So can I ask Kay, Lucille, come up here? So everything we do, we got to do in team. But I just really felt these two women are a huge gift and blessing to me. And I know they're a huge gift and blessing to our body. But the thing that I love about them is just how much they host the truth of the Father in them. And so I just asked them to come help me. Just what we want to do today is we just want to take an opportunity to be vessels of the Father and just speak out affirmation over you moms. We want to speak out the truth of who he sees you. And we're going to do that together, and then after that we'll head into communion. But just, moms, prepare your heart as we just pray and speak truth over you. You ready, mama? Okay, so I'll start. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much. Father, we don't move ahead without your spirit. We need you, Jesus. Jesus. The Holy Spirit calls out your name, Jesus. You just pray, well done, mums. Thank you so much for receiving this call. Thank you for co-laboring. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for doing just one more day, one more moment. Thanks for giving all you have, for facing the hard stuff, for being faithful in the challenges, for letting your heart love, for saying yes, Thank you for getting dirty and taking it on and for choosing hope. Thank you for giving your time and asking good questions and hard questions. Thank you for wrestling with truth and for doing all the things that no one else notices. Thank you for thinking of others and expressing the heart of unconditional love and building a community that can nurture love and safety.
I just pray a blessing and an affirmation for the mothers and who they are. As you enter into and walk through your journey as a mother, know that in all of it, and even the everyday, the Lord is building things of Him into you. He calls some to be mothers, but He calls us all women to be daughters. So I just pray this blessing to all that mothers are. They are valuable and a joy to the Lord. They are loving, nurturing, courageous, passionate, protectors, providers, doers of many things. They are faithful, selfless servants, teachers, and molders of young hearts. They are dreamers, encouragers, and cheerleaders. They are bringers of hope and a future, bringers of justice, builders of trust and truth, receivers of grace and forgiveness. They are fulfillers of the Great Commission by proclaiming the Lord to another generation, passing on the legacy of faith. Mothers, you are precious in the sight of the Lord. He walks alongside of you in this journey. Through Jesus and His sacrifice, we have all that we need to be the mothers that He created us to be. As you pour out blessing to your children, receive the blessing and affirmation of the Lord. May He be glorified in you.
My turn. Amen. I want to pray a scripture over us today, over the women. And first of all, I want to preface it with, and this goes with what Jackie was talking about, not minimizing our significance. And I feel like the Lord wants to speak a word of comfort to the women here today. He said to me, comfort is not obtuse. So instead of telling me what it was, He said what it isn't. So I want you to know that comfort is not annoying. Comfort is not insensitive. Comfort is not slow to understand. Comfort is not stupid. Comfort is not slow. Comfort is not dull-witted. It is not unintelligent. It's not ignorant. And it's not simple-minded. And we are women of comfort. So comfort brings physical ease and freedom, freedom from pain and constraint. It alleviates grief and distress. It brings full reassurance and support. It is strong and it strengthens. It improves a sense of well-being and wellness. So I just want to pray 2 Corinthians 1 over us. So we send you on a special mission into the very plans planned by God Himself. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Master Jesus Christ be yours. So be invigorated by the God of all mercy, the God of all healing counsel, the God of all comfort. So it is He who comes alongside you as you go through the hard times. So be clothed with the full measure of his healing. Comfort as you, and the full measure of his healing comfort as you give the same comfort to others. So when you face challenges, may it work out for you healing and salvation. You are women that will willingly give a helping hand and encouraging word. So may you be spurred on, face forward, unflinching. So as women, as mothers, as sisters, as friends, today we know you are going to make it. And we have no doubt about it. Amen.